Green means go. That means I can talk. All right. Good morning. So this morning we are continuing our sermon series on The Disciple's Path, which is a book by Reverend Dr. Jim Harnish, who is the pastor at Hyde Park United Methodist Church in Florida. And he learned how to do something called discipleship really well in his congregation, and he became a teacher of this. And what discipleship means is, how do you move from a first-time guest, from somebody who's never been in a church before, who might be new to the Christian faith, to becoming a member, to becoming an engaged member, to becoming someone who's at the church all the time and brings their children and families and gives of their time and talents and treasure? How do you go from point A to point Z in a smooth linear fashion by getting connected to the community of faith? How can pastors help you do that? How can the church members help you do that? How can the staff help you do that? How can the website help you do that? And so what Dr. Harnish did was he figured it out, and then he decided to help others figure it out by writing a book about it. And so we're moving through this fall, this October, together as a congregation. One of the things that he talks about being really important is prayer. Now, as followers of Jesus, we know that, yes, prayer is important. Jesus prayed, and so therefore we should pray also. And I think we know that God hears our prayers and wants us to communicate. And I also think we know that our prayers matter in other people's lives. But what's tricky is, how do we pray, and what do we pray about? So today, I want to talk a little bit about that and teach a little bit about that. And we're going to start by reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. And I'm actually going to read from the Bibles that are under your seats in front of you. These Bibles have little stickers on them that say, need a Bible? Take a Bible. These Bibles are for you. They're for you to use in worship. They're for you to take home with you. They're for you to share with your family and friends. And you can use them at any point. So I'm going to be on page 53 in these Bibles, and I'm going to be reading from Luke 11, verses 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I love this passage because it first harkens back to the name of our worship service here, the Open Door. This is a place where all are welcome, and so any who knock will be welcomed to open door, will be welcomed into God's presence here in this place. Our first prayer every morning before anybody gets here is that whomever graces our doorstep at St. Paul's United Methodist Church will feel the presence of God moving in this place. We'll experience the love, the comfort, the peace, the hope, the forgiveness, the freedom that Jesus offers. So as we move into this time, I want to offer you first, that is my prayer for you today. The second thing I want to offer you is some suggestions about postures of prayer. I think when we pray all the time, there's a tendency to fold our hands together and close our eyes and bow in prayer like this. And I don't know about you, but if I close my eyes and bow my head, I'm either looking at the pills on my sweater, or I get distracted and start thinking about whatever else is going through my mind that day. Does that happen to anybody else? You get distracted when you pray sometimes? Totally normal. Totally normal. Happens to all people. So I want to offer you a couple of suggestions about postures for prayer. Certainly hands together, hands folded is one of them. And then hands open is another. I actually like to pray with one hand with palm up and one hand with palm down like this, as a reminder that I'm lifting up my prayers to God, and God is also sending, and I can receive prayers this way. So I'm giving things up, and I'm also receiving a gift. This is typically the way that we pray when we hold hands with people also, like around a table at mealtimes or when we're gathered in a circle in a community of faith. One hand is open to letting go and sharing a gift, and one hand is open to receiving a gift. So let me offer you that today. The other thing I want to do is offer you that this five-finger prayer. The five-finger prayer is a tool, a resource that we can use as a guide for our time of prayer. Most of us have five fingers, unless you're like my grandpa and you cut off one accidentally a long time ago in a work accident. Hopefully that doesn't happen to too many people, right? But the five-finger prayer is a guide that we can use for praying with open hands and open hearts. And let me take you through that. So with your thumb, everybody wiggle your thumb, left or right hand, doesn't matter. You want to begin your prayer with a word of adoration. Now, adoration is a fancy biblical term, and what it means is praise. You want to give God praise. You want to talk to God about all the things that God is really good at. About all the things that God has given you. You want to talk to God about how great and mysterious and majestic and powerful God is in your life and how you are experiencing God's presence that day. So when you hear me pray at Open Door, you might hear me say, God, you are holy and you are good. God, we love you so much and we're glad that you're here this morning. God, we soak up your presence. That's a prayer of adoration. For you in your life, that might look different depending on where you are and what you've got going on. You might be praying to a God of peace if you're in the midst of chaos or turmoil. You might be praying to a God of healing if you are someone who is sick and weighed down by pain. You might be praying to a God of love if it's your anniversary or if your family's all together and love is in the room. Whatever it is, give God your adoration. Give God your praise as you begin your prayer. With your pointer finger, with your second finger, this is a finger that you can use for confession. Confession is when we offer God the words we need to say when we are hurt, when we are feeling ignorant, when we are feeling like we've made a mistake or done something wrong. Confession is what you say when the day is just not going right and you know that you've been a part of that in some way. Confession is important for us because we know that we're human. We know that we make mistakes. We know that we fall short. We know that grace is real and grace is available to us. And so confession is the way that we open ourselves up to saying, God, I need you, and here's why. For those of you who are here, last week as we began this series, I told a long story about all the ways I needed to confess my need for God's grace in the midst of my parenting relationship with my son Michael, who's turning 4 next week. There are other places where I need God's grace and where I confess my mistakes, where I confess my hurt. I talk about it with God in the midst of the context of my marriage. Maybe Joel and I had a fight. Maybe we're not communicating well. Maybe he said something that stung a little bit. Or maybe I was the one to do the wrong thing. Perhaps there's something in the midst of your daily commute where you experience a bit of road rage, or you think a thought that is perhaps less than positive towards one of your neighbors on the road, and you need to confess that. Confession is important because it unburdens us from having to carry that guilt and that weight on our own shoulders. It unburdens us and frees us to accept the gift of God's grace. And so as we are praying through our five fingers, it's the second thing we pray for so that we can be ready to receive the gifts that God has for us throughout the rest of the prayer. Your third finger, your long finger or your middle finger, is a prayer of thanksgiving. This is the place where you can be mindful of all the things in your life that you're grateful for. The things that are going well, the people who love you, the way the sun is shining and the beautiful leaves are turning colors outside. This is the place for you to let God know you are blessed and you need to say thank you for it. in the midst of some of my work in counseling, one of the things that my therapist has recommended that I do every day is to journal, keep a gratitude journal on my nightstand. And so I do. I keep a little Moleskine journal, and every night I try to write down 5 things that I'm grateful for, 5 blessings. And what I find is, well, what I found in the beginning is that it would start out pretty broad, pretty basic. I would say, God, I'm grateful for my family. God, I'm grateful for my health. God, I'm grateful for financial stability and my warm house. God, I'm grateful for the food that I have to eat and the way it nourishes my body. God, I'm grateful for rest. And then you click off the light. But now that I've been doing it a few years, what I find is gratitude for some of the simplest things. Gratitude for the ways in which God's presence fills up my life and helps me to be more alive, more satisfied, more on fire for what God is doing in and through this place, in and through my ministry, in and through the open door and all of you. So I want to encourage you, as you're praying this 5-finger prayer, see if you can name the blessings that are going on in your life and offer those blessings to God in thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for that. Folks who talk about mindfulness will talk about gifts of gratitude and acknowledging our gratitude and sharing our gratitude as one of the things that helps keep us grounded in life, one of the things that helps keep us at peace in life. And if you think about this middle finger and turn it over, there's a vein that runs down your hand and up your arm straight to your heart. So as your blood is moving through your body, pulsing through your body, and you're saying thank you to God, you're reminded of all the ways in which those blessings are keeping you alive, keeping you sustained, keeping you ready to receive more blessings that God has to offer you. Okay, so we've got adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and now we're going to talk about something called intercession or supplication, another fancy Bible word. So let me talk about it some. Intercession is when we pray with people or for people. And supplication means that we want God to supply a certain need on behalf of those people that we're praying with or for. So when you pray with or for someone or something, you're lifting up prayer requests that they might have on their behalf. So let's give an example. An example of intercession would be, I have a sister with epilepsy. Her name is Becky, and she is someone who experiences her seizures, the big grand mal ones, around times of stress. Most of the time, she's pretty stable. She lives on equilibrium with the help of some medication for her brain. And when she gets really stressed, that's when she's more vulnerable to seizures. And so yesterday, I was just praying for her on her behalf, because she has a big test on Monday to certify her and give her a license to be a physical therapist in the state of Michigan. It's a big test. It's a long test. It's going to take her 6 hours. It's all on the computer. She can't take any breaks. It's an ordeal. She's been studying for it for months, and she's ready. She's really ready. She's really smart. She's really well prepared, and she just needs to get through this test, and then she can start working full time at a job that she loves. So I was praying a prayer of intercession on behalf of my sister Becky, and the prayer request that I was asking God for was peace, patience, strength, persistence to get through this test. We know she's ready. We know she knows the material. We just need her to stay calm, not get stressed out, not get too tweaked out if there's a question that she doesn't understand, and to breathe through this test. And so that was literally the need that I was asking God to supply. That's the supplication part. was praying on behalf of my sister to supply this need for patience, for persistence, for strength, for her body to be calm so that her brain could do the work that it needed to do in that moment and not respond to the stress of the trigger that was happening in that room. So you all probably know dozens of people who are in need of prayers every day. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your strangers who are in need of prayers every day. Some of them need prayers to help celebrate and lift up the good things that are going on in life, the joys. Other people have real concerns. They might be going through a health struggle. They might be dealing with a difficult relationship or an unsafe situation at home or at work. They might need prayers in the midst of discerning a new job or whether or not to have another baby. These are all things that we can be in prayer for, with and for one another, and they're all things that we can lift up to God and ask that God would supply that need. So that's intercession and supplication. The last one, your pinky finger is the shortest, but also probably the hardest one, because this is where you invite God to be at work in the midst of your prayers. And then you let them go. You surrender them. The pinky is for prayers of surrender. So the word amen, which we're used to saying at the end of prayers to punctuate the prayer, simply means let it go. Amen means let it go. And so when we do that, when we offer up these prayer requests, when we offer up our prayers of thanksgiving, when we offer up our prayers of confession, what that means is that we don't hold on to those prayers with clenched fists anymore. We give them to God with an open heart and an open hand, knowing that God receives them and is going to be at work in the midst of them. We don't have to hold on to those mistakes that we have made, those things we've said that we shouldn't have said, those things that have hurt us and caused us emotional pain. We let all that go. We surrender it into God's presence, into God's embrace. We don't have to hold on to the weight of responsibility that we can't fix other people's problems, that we can't heal their cancer, that we can't find them a job that gives them life, that we can't cause a seizure to happen or not happen in a computer lab where my sister's taking a test tomorrow. We let it all go. We surrender it into God's presence and into God's embrace, knowing that God hears our prayers and loves us and is indeed at work in the midst of all those things. So just to review, we have prayers of adoration, prayers of confession, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of intercession and supplication, and prayers of surrender. We're going to have an opportunity today to participate in Holy Communion, and then you'll be invited to go to a prayer station on either side of these round tables at the front. Each of the prayer stations is identical, and they have a guide there, a yellow piece of paper, where you'll have an opportunity to trace your hand. So, like, I traced my left hand, see? And you'll trace your hand, and then this yellow piece of paper takes you through the five-finger prayer that I just walked through in my sermon. So my hope is that you learned a new thing about prayer today, and that you'll be able to take it home and engage it in your own daily life of faith. Use this as a guide. Take it home with you as a tactile reminder, a visual reminder of the fact that even if we don't know what or how or who to pray for, God hears our prayers, and that this model can offer you a resource, a tool. Will you pray with me? Loving God, today we come into your presence with open hands. One hand palm face up and the other palm face down. We offer you the concerns that are on our hearts this day. The concerns for our family, our friends, our neighbors and strangers. We offer you concerns for our community and our world. knowing that as the storms of life are raging, there are things that are beyond our control that you are at work in. Knowing that in the midst of any chaos, any turmoil in our daily life, you are there, keeping us calm, anchoring us and centering us in your presence. Oh God, today we lift up those people and those places that are in need. We lift up those who are hungry and those who are homeless. Those who need a reminder of your great love, of your hope, of your forgiveness and freedom. We lift up all those who are broken or who are in pain this day, knowing that you are the one who can heal us and put us back together one piece at a time. Oh God, in the midst of our brokenness, we take a moment now to acknowledge the places where we have said and done things that have hurt others, where we have made mistakes, and where we have fallen short of the example that your Son Jesus set for us. Restore us to a right relationship with you and with those whom you call us to love. And help us, O God, to be freed of those things by your grace. It's by your grace, O God, that we know how to love, how to serve, how to walk in the light of your Son. So help us, O God, to receive the inspiration and the motivation and the strength that we need this day to walk in his light and to be an example of his love here on earth. We pray all these things, saying amen and letting it go together. And all God's people said, amen. Today we have an opportunity to receive God's presence through the sacrament of Holy Communion. The act of Holy Communion is a sacrament because it's one thing that Jesus did with and for his disciples. The Bible tells us that on the night before Jesus was to die on the cross, he gathered with his friends in a special and set apart place in the upper room. There they shared a meal, perhaps a few pieces of fish and some olives and some wine. And after the meal was over, there was a loaf of bread still on the table, something so ordinary that every family could have access to it. Jesus took that loaf of bread and he lifted it up as a symbol. He broke it and then he shared it with his friends and his followers, his students, and all who were gathered there, men and women and children. When it was broken, he said, "This is a reminder of my presence in your life. This is a symbol of what my love looks like. It's broken for you, just like my body will be." And then in the same way, Jesus took the cup, and it was an ordinary element on an ordinary table that Jesus blessed and lifted up again as another symbol. He said, "This is a symbol of my love, which is poured out for you. This is a symbol of my promise that I will be with you forever, that I will never leave you." As often as you eat of this bread, as often as you drink of this cup, please remember me, he said. And so it's in remembrance of these acts of Jesus Christ that today we come to the table. We come to the table to take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup and remember what Jesus has done for us and what his relationship in our lives means. We do so knowing that each time we gather here, we are unified in the body of Christ. We are unified with the service that's going on down the hall in the sanctuary and all other services happening in churches worldwide. We are one together in the body of Christ because of Jesus's great love. Will you pray with me? Jesus, you are amazing. You care about us so much that you gave us this bread and this juice as a symbol of your presence in our lives. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts and all people who are gathered here at the Open Door, so that we might receive these gifts to our nourishment today. May they be tangible reminders of the way in which your love surrounds us and sustains us and will never let us go. Amen.